This is the Schnitt Show.
Look at that. Hour number two is here. Boom. Where did hour one go? Just like a blink. Just a fleeting moment. Anyway, welcome back. And this hour, we're going to have the Schnitt Health News segment. Well, we do it all on this show. And something that we do a lot at our house apparently is very, very good for you. I'll explain that coming up in just a bit. And then, really? There's a marijuana story about marijuana and health? Come on, hang on. You know, I always get a kick out of these research projects and the stories that come out that something that was thought to be bad for you is now good for you, and what's good for you is now bad for you. I mean, it goes back and forth. Do you remember? I remember when I was a kid, my uncle used to tell my mom, my uncle's a cardiologist just starting out, oh, no, the research says eggs are awful. Nope. One egg, maybe two eggs a week, that's it. Now, like, eggs are supposed to be really good for you. And what about, remember, you can't eat regular butter, you got to have margarine. And, of course, it turns out that margarine, with all the hydrogenated crap, that's like, it's like concrete for your arteries. So the things that were good for you are now bad for you. The things that are bad for you, it just goes back and forth, and it's almost laughable. Red wine is great for you. No, it damages your brain. This, I mean, it's insane. Anyway, I've got two new items that we'll get to during the course of this hour. All right, before we jump into healthcare, and I still need to get into Trump's tweets, the rest of them, we dealt with the most important of Trump's tweets today, that he said that he did not make recordings of Comey. White House had telegraphed earlier this week that we'd find out by the end of the week, and we found out. And then, of course, so tweets and healthcare on the way in a second. First, though, we got to get this on. We've got to talk about this, that, and when we first saw this, wait, is this a joke? Is this a comedy act? Is this part of Bill Cosby's new stand-up routine? Mediaite is reporting that Bill Cosby plans to tour the United States to teach the youth of America about sexual assault. Really? Are you kidding me? Bill Cosby apparently has a bright future ahead of him, since the criminal trial against the actor, who had been accused of drugging and raping dozens of women, it's over 60 that have come forward. Since obviously the trial in Pennsylvania ended in mistrial, Cosby plans to tour America teaching the youth about how to avoid sexual assault. Well, it sounds like just avoid Bill Cosby and you're 90% there. Cosby's spokespeople, Andrew Wyatt and Ebony Benson, appeared on Good Day Alabama yesterday morning to announce a series of town hall events that the 79-year-old actor plans to host, geared at educating young people on new sexual assault laws. Wyatt said that Mr. Cosby wants to get back to work. We're now planning town halls, and we're going to be coming to this city sometime in July. Wyatt said that the goal of the town halls would be to talk to young people because this is bigger than Bill Cosby. Continued apparently referring to the issue of being accused of sexual assault. Wait a minute. So do we need Bill Cosby to teach the youth of America about sexual assault? A guy that was accused of having a fishing tackle box filled with pills to knock women out, so that he can have his way with them? And Bill Cosby? Come on. Come on, somebody tell me I'm on candid camera. All right, somebody tell me I've been punked. Someone tell me this is some crazy, nutty story from The Onion. Is this Dick Clark's TV's bloopers and practical jokes? Really? Bill Cosby to tour America to teach young kids about sexual assault? The youth of America? All right, it's got to be comedy. That's all I'm saying. 800-801-8999, 800-801-8999. That is the nationwide number here on Schnitt. Tweets. Let's finish up with Trump's tweets from today. If you missed it, in hour one, we dealt with the most important, and that's, and I'll end with that because that's actually the last of the tweets. Trump last tweeted about 3 hours ago, and that was the Comey recordings that he made no tapes. He says there are no tapes of Comey as far as he knows, but he kind of left the door open to another conspiracy theory here, which I did discuss last hour. I'll bring up again. This morning, Trump's first tweet, a very active day, very, very active Twitter day for the president. 6 hours ago, Trump tweeted, former Homeland Security Advisor Jay Johnson is latest top intelligence official to state that there was no grand scheme between Trump and Russia. And of course, Jay Johnson, former Homeland Security Sec, he testified yesterday, and essentially, that's accurate. One of the things to come out of the hearing was, yeah, that there's no proof. There's no grand scheme, as Trump puts it, that he colluded or the campaign colluded with the Russians. And I've said this all along. I think Trump is absolutely in the right here. I don't think for 1 minute that there was any masterminded collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Not one bit. And this is also a straight-on, very poignant tweet. Trump then tweeted, by the way, if Russia was working so hard on the 2016 election, it all took place during the Obama administration. Why didn't they stop them? Very fair question. Now, that is a quality Trump tweet. No problem with that. Why did Democrat, this is the next tweet. Why did Democratic National Committee turn down the Department of Homeland Security offer to protect against hacks long prior to election? It's all a big dem hoax. I can't discount that either. Okay, so far so good. Next, why did the DNC refuse to turn over its server to the FBI and still has it? It's all a big dem scam and excuse for losing the election. Okay, I concur with that one as well. Next tweet from Trump. I certainly hope the Democrats do not force Nancy Pelosi out. That would be very bad for the Republican Party. And please let Crying Chuck stay as well. Of course, referring to Chuck Schumer. Guess what? I agree with that tweet as well. You know, those that want Pelosi out, why? You know, there are numerous Democrats. In fact, I've got an audio bite. I've got a couple audio bites here. Let's see, who is this guy? I don't know all the members of the House of Representatives. You know, I know virtually all the senators. I know a good chunk of the House of Representatives members, but I don't know all the little districts and all the folks that represent every, you know, corner of the U.S. for their particular state. But, you know, You have Democrats that are calling for Nancy Pelosi to be removed. You have a new House of Representatives member from Long Island, New York, Kristen something or other, a female Democrat from Long Island, saying it's time for new leadership. Thank you. Kathleen Rice is her name. And she's like, oh, it's time for new leadership. It's time for Pelosi to go. What is this? This cut is, who is this? All right. Okay, this is Representative Tim Ryan with Don Lemon on CNN.
You think right. Nancy Pelosi is more toxic than Donald Trump?
You know what? The honest answer is, in some areas of the country, yes, she is. That's the honest answer.
Then, and I have no idea who the hell this guy is, but his name is Philemon Vella, and he's a Democrat from Texas. Listen to what Philemon Vella had to say yesterday.
As long as Nancy Pelosi is the leader of the Democratic Party, it's going to be very difficult to win.
Well, what's wrong with that? So I agree with Trump. Keep Nancy Pelosi in and let them not win. And let Crying Chuck Schumer on the Senate side, let him stay as well. Oh, you want me to dig up the old parody from yesteryear? Oh, I haven't heard this in a long time. Oh, I remember sitting on my couch writing this in my office at home. Oh, let's go to the Schnitt parody song archives for Nancy Pelosi.
Let me be. I'm not a man like Hillary. Just keep your cool, 'cause I'm ready to rule. Hey, Bush, f- you. I'm Nancy P.
When's the last time we played that? Hey, James, does our system tell us the last time that was played prior to just now? No. Oh, clearly you can tell that was during the Bush administration. Oh, we haven't run that in a long time. Oh, a Nancy Pelosi old. Oh, we have the audio bite of what's her name? Kathleen. What is it? Kathleen Rice. She's a Democrat from Long Island, New York. And here is her cut, you know, saying that, oh, yeah, Pelosi's got to go.
We need a winning strategy. And I think the first step to getting to a winning strategy is a change in leadership. If you were talking about any sports team that was losing time and time again, you changes would be made, right? The CEO would be out, the coach would be out, and there would be a new strategy put in place.
So there's a growing undercurrent of Democrats that want Pelosi gone, but I agree with Trump, that let her stay. She's perfect. Let Nancy Pelosi stay. I have no issue with that. All right, finishing up Trump's tweets. Next tweet from 3 hours ago. With all the recently reported electronic surveillance intercepts, unmasking, and illegal leaking of information, I have no idea whether there are tapes or recordings of my conversations with James Comey, but I did not make and do not have any such knowledge. Or, I'm sorry, any such recordings. And, of course, we talked about this last hour because this is the series of most important tweets of the day, that he does not have recordings of Comey in the Oval Office. But there is an opening here. There's a chink in the armor. There's a little crack in the doorway. Did somebody else record? He says, but I did not make and do not have any such recordings. So let the conspiracy theorists take hold and run with the fact. Did somebody else record Comey and Trump in the Oval Office? Who knows? Oh, boy. All right, we got to get on with healthcare in just a bit. And this is in trouble, folks. Is that why Trump tweeted out today about no Comey tapes? Because he wanted to distract from the Senate healthcare issue? And the fact that this thing is not going to pass? If the current four Republican senators are not going to vote for it, who say they're not going to vote for it. Hold on, we'll get into this next on Schnitt. Stand by. You know, if you've had dental work done, then you know how important it is to have a great dentist, especially one that has the latest technology. Now, let me explain latest technology. Dentists that have something called CEREC technology, that's C-E-R-E-C, they can create a crown in just one office visit. This is different than how it's been. There are no return appointments where you have to go back multiple times to get a crown molded and fitted and jammed in your... it's just a whole lot more comfortable. None of the gooey trays and gagging, challenges to eat while you have some kind of an uncomfortable temporary. Yeah, you heard me right. A dentist with CEREC technology makes getting a crown possible in just one office visit. But you need the CEREC technology. To find a dentist with CEREC technology, just call 1-800-DENTIST today and speak to an expert. Or book your appointment online at 1-800-DENTIST.com/CEREC. That's 1-800-DENTIST.com/CEREC. 1-800-DENTIST. Over 9 million people have already found an awesome dentist, so why wait? Call or visit now. 1-800-DENTIST is the phone number, or 1-800-DENTIST.com/Sarah.
One of the fastest growing shows in America.
There's something else regarding the Cosby trial and the aftermath that I want to get into. Sort of a, well, it's a procedural question. With the fact now that one of the jurors has spoken anonymously to ABC News, I think there's a very crucial question that was not answered. And I don't know why ABC News didn't ask, or maybe they did and it wasn't answered. What is it? We'll get to it in just a bit. Next half hour. But I want to begin the next half hour with health care and the new Senate bill. Folks, there are some very ticked off Republicans, as you know. We've got Republicans that are like, we were not part of the process. We just saw this. We've got 147 pages or so. It is being called Obamacare Lite. There are four Republicans that are saying, no way, Jose, we're not voting for it. You have Rand Paul, Mike Lee. You have Ted Cruz. And who's the other guy? Ron Johnson. Hold on. Let's bring you up to speed on health care and the Senate problem next.
Schmidt Show.
Health care. The Senate bill, which was released today. Incidentally, guess who released a message an hour ago? Obama. Obama put out a very long response to the Senate health care bill about an hour ago on Facebook. So I have that in front of me as well. Let me bring you up to date on exactly what's happening here. We've got, well, Republicans who agree, who are okay with the bill. We have Republicans that are not okay with this bill. And we have some high-profile Republicans that are saying they will not vote for the Senate Obamacare repeal and replace. Here's what happened. We have Mitch McConnell, who finally brought this bill out of the shadows and let people see what's in it. This is after many complaints from even members of Congress, members of the House and the Senate. Clearly, this is the Senate bill, but there are members of the House that are saying, hey, we want some transparency. We want to see what's in the Senate. Why weren't we available to see the process? This was kept very tight and behind closed doors. So you've got House members. You've got clearly senators that are upset with this. And Mitch McConnell made it available today online this morning at about 9:30, 147 pages or so. Now, I'm not going to get into the weeds, as I said earlier, because it is going to change. It will morph into something else over the next week. But in broad strokes, this is the important stuff you need to know about. The new Republican Obamacare repeal and replace bill set forth today includes deep cuts to Medicaid, fundamentally retooling it from an open-ended entitlement to a system of federal payments that are capped that limit federal spending. It will repeal billions of dollars in Obamacare taxes that were used to foot the bill for the Medicaid expansion. I'm okay with this. You know, the medical device tax. I mean, just what about the tanning salon tax, which was really discriminatory, and that was a tax on white people. I mean, really, I mean, who tans? Who goes to a tanning salon? White people go to tanning salons. So if you're white, you're getting taxed. Now, I got to be honest, I've never set foot in a tanning salon, and I have no plans to ever set foot in a tanning salon. It also gets rid of the individual and employer mandates to buy insurance. That is key, and yes, I agree with that. The individual and employer mandates would be gone. It has tax credits to help people buy private coverage, more generous than what's in the House of Representatives plan, but still a lot less than the subsidies that are provided in Obamacare. We have conservatives in the Senate, like Rand Paul. They don't see any real substantive difference between the Obamacare subsidies and Mitch McConnell's tax credits. So Rand Paul is not happy. Rand Paul is ticked off. Not a happy camper. It'll phase out federal funding for Obamacare's Medicaid expansion, which, by the way, provides coverage to about 11 million people in 31 states. The Senate proposal will also phase out funding over 4 years from 2020 to 2024, which is a lot quicker than the 7 years that moderate Republicans were pushing. You know, you have guys like Dan Heller. He's from Nevada. You have Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. You have Rob Portman from Ohio. So they want to phase it out slower than what is in this Senate bill. Lisa Murkowski, who is from Alaska. Murkowski, she says, hey, I don't want to phase out Medicaid expansion funding at all. So Murkowski doesn't want to see any phase out. Now, let's set the expansion. Let's set the Medicaid expansion aside. The cuts to Medicaid itself are deeper than what's in the House bill, and those start in 2025, so what, about 8 years from now? And in that year, the cap on Medicaid payments would start growing at a slower rate, leading to deeper cuts eventually over time. Now, the bill, the Senate bill, which is being proposed, it will defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. What's the point of that? Defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. Hey, why not just 2 hours? Let's defund Planned Parenthood for a couple hours. I don't see the point of this. Listen, if that's some kind of a move to placate moderates like Murkowski and also Susan Collins of Maine, the whole other side of the country, that's pretty weak. That's lame. That would be flimsy. There's also a one-year moratorium on funding Planned Parenthood that is not going to fly with conservatives. So you have that. So defunding for 1 year and then a moratorium on funding Planned Parenthood. I'd like to have some delineation between the two, to be quite honest. Now, you've heard a bunch of names here. You're going to have, it looks like, four hardcore conservatives led by Rand Paul and Mike Lee of Utah that are saying no dice here. Yeah, there are also six or seven moderates, mostly in states whose governors accepted federal funding for Medicaid expansion, and they're now faced with giving those people the boot. So their eyes are open. You know, for instance, I'll give you some numbers here. There are 700,000 low-income residents in Ohio who would be shoved out in the cold when Medicaid expansion is frozen and ultimately set for elimination. Now, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows whether or not this bill came up with any magic formula to hold together enough of the conservatives without losing the moderates and vice versa? That all remains to be seen. McConnell, as you know, has to get 51 votes, which means he can only afford to lose two Republicans. So McConnell is widely regarded as the best chess player in the Senate. He allegedly looks 3 to 4 moves ahead, so, hey, this is potentially new territory for him. He doesn't know if he has 51 votes as of today, and he doesn't know exactly how he's going to get there. and not knowing what your vote count is, if you're going to bring legislation, and granted, the bill dropped today, there's still going to be changes, but before this is brought to a vote, Mitch McConnell has to have the votes. He is not going to bring this to the floor for a vote if it's going to lose. And right now, you've got four Republican senators. They're saying, we're not in. Rand Paul, Kentucky, says, I'm not voting for this. Mike Lee of Utah is saying, I'm not voting for this. You have Ted Cruz of Texas saying, I'm not voting for this. And you have Ron Johnson from Wisconsin saying, I'm not voting for this. So round and round, round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. But, you know, you have, four. So you've got 52 Republicans, 46 Democrats, and two independents. So, you know, for all intents and purposes here, it's 52-48. So you lose four off the 52. You're toast. You don't have enough votes. You know, of course, if there are two that go away and you have 50, well, there you go. And if you have a need for a vice presidential vote, you have that obviously in Pence. Now, we don't have a whole lot of substance of the bill at this point that I've been able to grasp. So, well, that would put me essentially on par with about 99% of the senators as far as what's in this. But already the reviews are not good. The optics are lousy. And essentially it's going to be sold as, oh, we got tons of tax breaks for the wealthy, wealthy business owners, paired with drastic cuts to Medicaid. Now, the burdens on the wealthy, the burdens on business, are they too great in Obamacare? Absolutely. Does it stifle business? Yes. Does it prevent people from working 40 hours a week? Do you have employers that are holding employees down by keeping them under a weekly hourly cap in order not to potentially have to provide health care? Absolutely. So, listen, Obamacare has done a whole lot of damage, not to mention the fact that the damn thing is caving in. This thing is collapsing. So, round and round, round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. I'm not going to bore you with Mitch McConnell audio from the floor. This has got to change, but as it stands right now, this is not going to pass. I can only look back and remember the celebration in the Rose Garden when the House of Representatives passed their version. That was silly. That was dopey. Celebrate one half when the Senate was already saying, we're not even taking up the House bill. We're going to completely shred it and start again. And the do-over from the Senate is getting bad reviews. It's being called Obamacare Light by Rand Paul, and Rand Paul's out. And so are three others. Now, what does Obama have to say? Obama on Facebook, a little over an hour ago, dropped this. This is a long missive. I don't know if Obama wrote this or if his staff wrote this, but it says, our politics are divided. They have been for a long time. And while I know that division makes it difficult to listen to Americans with whom we disagree, that's what we need to do today. I recognize that repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act has become a core tenet of the Republican Party. Still, I hope that our senators, many of whom I know well, step back and measure what's really at stake and consider that the rationale for action on health care or any other issue must be something more than simply undoing something that Democrats did. We didn't fight for the Affordable Care Act for more than a year in the public square for any personal or political gain. We fought for it because we knew it would save lives, prevent financial misery, and ultimately set this country we love on a better, healthier course. This goes on. I mean, it'll take me another 10 minutes to read this whole Obama thing. Well, Barack, your Obamacare is collapsing. It's unsustainable. It is disintegrating. I mean, it is a colossal dumpster fire. And it is going to go away. The Republicans don't need to have to, the Republicans don't need to do anything on repealing. It's going to collapse all on its own. I mean, look what's going on with the exchanges. You have insurance companies that are pulling out of the exchanges. You're supposed to have a ton of options. There are states where you have only one option. Costs have skyrocketed. I mean, what are you talking about? You promised there would be a savings. There's not a savings. The healthcare has gone up for most Americans. You know, it's an entitlement. It's a handout. And it needs to be corrected. I mean, Obama fails to recognize any of the ills, the shortfalls, like the whole thing is going to implode on its own. How about that? Yeah, so misguided, wearing, I don't know what color glasses this guy's wearing, but totally out of control.
Schmidt shows.
All right, speaking of healthcare, but not the political aspect, but this is positive. New study says that this will ward off Alzheimer's and can actually preserve your memory. New study. What? Extra virgin olive oil. Yeah. And we use a lot of olive oil at our place. We cook, when we need any kind of oil, we use olive oil. You ever make eggs with olive oil? Oh, it's fantastic. You ever, who does, Lee drinks it, what? Really? So Lee drinks olive oil by the spoonful, apparently. Lee works in our production staff. In Tampa Master Control. I use olive oil virtually for all cooking. And if you ever do a fried egg in olive oil, it's fantastic. So the latest is Temple University shows that extra virgin olive oil protects against memory loss, preserves the ability to learn, and reduces conditions associated with Alzheimer's disease. This is a USA Today article I saw last night. Well, that is very positive. And then the other little medical health item here is what? Regular consumption of marijuana keeps you fit? Wait a sec. Get out of here. According to researchers at Oregon Health and Science University, people who use marijuana more than 5 times a month have a lower body mass index than people who do not use marijuana. Oh, heavy users of cannabis had a lower mean BMI, that's body mass index, compared to that of never users. Study also suggested that people who consume marijuana on a regular basis are more physically active than those who only use it sporadically or not at all. Maybe it's just you have to get up more often to go get a snack because you've got the munchies or something. Hey, where are the Funyuns? Where are the Doritos? Oh, I got the munchies. Come on. Hey, I really? Now, didn't I read somewhere that, like, smoking a joint is like you get, you know, some of the chemicals of, like, smoking 100 cigarettes? And then you have the issue of the states where recreational marijuana is legal is that car wrecks have gone up. Like Colorado, for instance. In the state of Colorado, car crashes have gone up. Because you got people driving around stoned. I'll tell you right now, I bet you. Now, we're heard in Colorado right now. We're heard in Vail and Edwards and Avon and Aspen and Carbondale and Glenwood and Aspen. And we're heard in a nice chunk of Colorado. I bet you we've got stoned listeners right now listening to this program. Maybe we should go to phones coming up. Hour 3. Next.
Schmidt Show.